You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for October 4th, Friday. We see the Jazz in action this weekend, and we brain dump on a Friday. It's all coming up on this edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks for tuning in. We get to see the team in person on Friday or on Saturday against Adelaide, and then we'll see them on Wednesday and Friday next week. I want to thank everyone for your tuning in this week. Locked On Jazz has skyrocketed back up the iTunes rankings. Not easy for a local show to be in the top 200. Not easy for a local show to be in the top 120, where we were for part of the most of yesterday. So thank you very much. Glad to have you fired up for the season. Today's edition of the show, we're going to do a brain dump Friday and a little get to know as well. So we'll add in another one of our get to know interviews. Your last one you got to hear was Dante. Today, Donovan Mitchell. And let me start with Donovan, because I thought that there was a Zach Lowe had a really interesting piece in his article that just came out today, his Tears of the NBA, in which he put the Utah Jazz as a title contender, one of the five teams he has as a title contender: the Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, the 76ers, and the Bucks are his title contenders on his tier teams, and he has Houston kind of inside out of it. He gets a little feisty about Donovan Mitchell, and he says the following about Donovan. Small pet peeve: any assumption that time is propelling Donovan Mitchell on a path to soon become prime Dwayne Wade. Prime Dwayne Wade was a freaking monster. The collective memory of this is fading because Wade passed the baton early to LeBron and spent prior seasons toiling on mediocre teams in waiting for LeBron. Prime Wade had a claim to the greatest active shooting guard throne. He shot between 51 and 55% on twos every season, dished out six or seven dimes per game, and lived at the line and lurked as the greatest shot blocking guard in history. This is totally fair. This is the one thing that I'm concerned on when we talk about Donovan. He's awesome. His personality is better. His leadership is unreal. His maturity is through the roof. He is everything you want him to be. Grab the 45 jersey, put it on. From a franchise standpoint, he's an incredible leader. He's great compliment to Rudy. To say after his first two seasons of the NBA that he is equal to what was one of the, if not the, greatest shooting guard of all time is unfair. I know their bodies are the same, but his body's also the same as Gilbert Arenas. His body's also the same as numerous other players. And I do think that Zach has a really fair point here, is that our margin in comparison of Donovan off of his first two seasons isn't really fair right now. And there are some huge differences in the Dwayne Wade comparison, Donovan Mitchell comparison, and namely the amount of times that he goes to the free throw line. Now, this is where things get really interesting this year for Donovan. And that is, we don't necessarily know what comes next for Donovan on a wide open floor with support. Like, we've talked about it a lot, that Donovan just didn't have guys that were making shots off his passes. And so here you have Donovan, who actually his numbers in the first 2 years are somewhat similar efficiency-wise to somebody like Gilbert Arenas. So Okay, but you don't have to be all of everyone, right? Just because you shoot like him and do this like him doesn't mean you have to become the have the personal problem. Like, Donovan didn't grow up in Los Angeles sleeping in a car homelessly while his dad slept on the hood of the car to try to keep him safe in Griffith Park the way Gilbert Arenas' dad did, and clearly caused Gilbert Arenas all sorts of problems. But Gilbert Arenas, you know, by his fifth year in the NBA, was averaging 29 and 28 points a game before he got hurt, and was pretty outstanding, and was 6'3", 191. Like, that's actually a pretty fair comparison with the leadership skills and the personality and the maturity of all these things. Watching Donovan day to day is just totally awesome. Like, his approach, I asked him yesterday about this, his approach to camp right now is that I think that he will, he's taking a leadership role, but an actively back seat. Like, he talked yesterday about Bojan learning the pick and roll and Bojan shooting. That can only happen if Donovan's not running the pick and roll and Donovan's not shooting. That's how amazing Donovan is. And now on this end, Zach's right. Like, we shouldn't be taking him to really one of the greatest players of all time. But at the same time, every time I'm around this kid, it's just incredible how amazing he really is as a person, as a leader, and what he is for the franchise. We'll hear from him at the end of the show today, as he and I got a chance to sit down. We didn't have one yesterday. We decided not to. Next week, by the way, on the series, Ed Davis, George Niang, Bojan, and Jeff Green will be the series next week. So look forward to sharing those with you. Donovan is a far better shooter than Dwayne Wade. I mean, really, the comparison's not great in many ways. Donovan has post January 1 last year was a 48% catch and shoot 3-point shooter. I mean, that's a pretty elite level shooting skill that if he suddenly shows this year without that burden, he's going to be amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out. I actually thought that Zach's right. Like, and I didn't, you know, and I don't know that. I am hearing it a little bit. Like, I was at dinner last night with our broadcast assistants, and one of our broadcast assistants' theory was that, well, Mike Conley just has to be okay because Donovan will be superhuman. No, we need Mike Conley to be great. Like, we need Mike Conley to be great to relieve the burden on Donovan so Donovan doesn't have to be Dwayne Wade. Right? Does that make sense? And I think he can do it. I think with this new structure and how he'll get to pick his spots and do what he does, it's going to be just incredible. He's going to be more efficient. And on the Locked On NBA, I talked about it, that, you know, it's funny, all these projections for the Jazz and the points gained, which I want to get to here in a minute. And the fact of the matter is, Donovan ends up with the still being a negative offensive player, and yet the Jazz come out as being this really pretty fabulous offensive team. Like, that's, to me, kind of the most exciting part about what we have going on this year, is that if Donovan does take this stride that we're talking about, oh, look out, right? Like, look out. Because that's the most exciting part to me of what we have coming in this season, is that if Donovan does get more efficient because of the environment he's in, then we become absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Pretty, to me, that has me probably the most fired up of anything of the season. It's interesting. I'm going to go back. Let's go back to my points gained rankings that I had earlier in the year that I've done, and, you know, did the Locked On NBA show with Ben Golliver. Thanks for tuning in on that. We got great numbers on that. Here are the rankings for the teams offensively in the NBA. There's some problems with my, you know, the defensive rankings. I'm pretty willing to admit. Here are the rankings of the offensive teams in the NBA this season, for, you know, the way I look at how we can expect the teams to come out offensively. The number one offensive team in the NBA this year will be, according to the system, will be the Milwaukee Bucks. The LA Clippers will be the number two. The Utah Jazz will be the number three offensive team in the league. So if we can be decent defensively, it's incredible. The fourth best offensive team in the NBA will be the Brooklyn Nets. That's the big surprise. The Lakers will be number five. The Rockets will be six. The Philadelphia 76ers will be seven. The Boston Celtics, eight. The Indiana Pacers will be the ninth best offensive team in the NBA. That's a surprise. The Warriors will be 10th. The New Orleans Pelicans, 11. The Phoenix Suns, 12. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 13. Surprisingly, the Denver Nuggets, 14. And the Atlanta Hawks, 15. Leaves out the Kings and the Spurs, who are 16 and 18. Dallas is 17. I don't see 19, which is weird. Oh, 18 is Toronto. Tied with San Antonio. 20th, Chicago. So that's the offensive rankings of points gained, and that's before the idea that Donovan becomes more efficient. Oh, man. Can't wait to see this team. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, where the Palisade has taken names, and the crew at Murdoch continues to do amazing work for their customers. If you're shopping for a car right now and you are not considering a Hyundai, please do. Because I think what you'll find out is you get more bells, more whistles, more features, more safety features for your dollar in a car that drives great, is technologically majorly advanced, and gives you all the safety features and rankings that you'd expect out of a car. The Kona is the fun little SUV that zips around town. The Tucson and the Santa Fe are the next two sizes, and the brand new Palisade is the 8-seater, and it's selling like hotcakes in Linden. Blake is down in the Linden store I just mentioned. There's a bunch of guys, but in the Murray store, but Jason Kreese is the guy who helped us out a great deal. His daughter's a ski racer, so he sat around and talked ski racing. And then Ben Murdoch and the crew is up in Logan. So three locations, Linden, Murray, and Logan, 4646 South State Street. The Murdochs have been in Utah for 90 years, and that's what they're so signature about, is making sure you have a no-regrets experience. And while you're doing that, getting an incredible car with Hyundai. All right, let's brain dump it before we talk about Donovan. One note for you, by the way, if you're looking, excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. Wow, how's that for a live show that's unedited? Indochino's the world's largest made-to-measure men's brand. Start your style upgrade now for $30, your total purchase of $399. For more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Woo! Allergies this time of year. Flonase, here I come. I take Flonase all year just to prevent allergies at the end of the year. What's going on right now? I have no idea. All right, I had a bunch of things I wanted to brain dump on today. Just kind of I think one of the, Ben Golliver brought this up on Locked On NBA. I think one of the most interesting aspects of the season is the idea of the halo effect. It's if you're on a roster with certain players that you become more efficient and you become better. And the player that I think will be most impacted by the halo effect is D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell was the number one option in Brooklyn, was inefficient in what he was doing last year. And now he'll be surrounded by Steph Curry. And does Steph Curry have a big enough impact for that halo effect? Here's what's really interesting about the Warriors. They're short possessions. Like, people are talking about the Warriors, and actually Boston is too this year without Kyrie Irving and without Al Horford. Everyone's talking about the idea that, well, how is D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry going to share? They actually don't have to worry about sharing. They're short possessions on that roster. There will not be a problem. And if D'Angelo Russell gets efficient, then Golden State really becomes a beast. The worst case scenario for anyone is going to be the two seed, and they get the Warriors with Klay Thompson as the seventh seed in the first round of the playoffs. But that's the halo effect. And that halo effect goes to Russell Westbrook a little bit as well. So the two most dominating offensive players in the league, Steph Curry and James Harden, have added number one options to play next to them, who were both stunningly inefficient last year. That's a, to me, as a basketball junkie, that's a pretty interesting concept. And what happens out of that, I think, is interesting. So keep an eye on that. One thing I don't think is being talked about in predictions, this is inevitable, who are the great defensive teams this year? Who will be the top five defensive teams? So Milwaukee, okay. What about, I think, Miami? Miami should be terrific defensively. Maybe the best in the NBA. Depending if their wings, depending what they do with Goran Dragic, that's the one kind of area where I'm not totally buying this. But if Miami's really good defensively in a weak Eastern Conference, I think they knock on the chance of being a home court advantage first round team because of the fact that they're elite defensively. Orlando is another one, should be elite defensively. So there's three teams in the Eastern Conference that should be elite defensive teams. Milwaukee, Miami, Orlando. That might get all three of them. Like, if Philadelphia wavers at all, I think Brooklyn's going to be really, really good offensively. That's probably the top six. The Pelicans should be elite defensively. And thus, in our rating systems, are way higher than they would be otherwise. Golden State might be elite defensively. If Draymond's healthy with all the athletes that they have and some guys that are unsung, they very well could be. I cannot figure out the Lakers. The Lakers could be good defensively. Kevin Pelton's system had them good defensively. Or they could be bottom 20, bottom 10, and then they're in trouble. The Jazz, we expect because of Rudy, to be one of the better defensive teams in the league, but they're lacking size and they're lacking rebounding. Like, it's not just losing Rudy. We used to just be huge, and we're not huge anymore. Oklahoma City, if they're engaged, could be good defensively. Chris Paul's good defensively. Danilo Gallinari's got good size. Steven Adams is a beast. And they've got athletes that can't shoot that are going to play hard on the other end. So, should be interesting to see what happens in that regard. Of who become the good defensive teams. I'm not entirely sure I know all the answers there. I'm not, you know, I'm guessing a little bit, but it's interesting. Those are the ones I would say. So if you're making, you know, if you're making a guess or you want to pick teams that you think are going to be a surprise, my answer to you on picking a surprise would be that's how I would pick my surprise. I would pick, absolutely pick my surprise based on that was me trying to put in a formula, based on that premise. That would be the way I would look at that. Because otherwise, that's the part of the game nobody takes it, you know, judges or looks at, in so many ways. So, all right. What other? 15th man on the Jazz roster. So, who's going to be the last guy on the Jazz roster? I think it's interesting to think about this a little bit because what I think that we probably, like, I hadn't thought about a lot is how to use the G League correctly. So, to use the G League correctly, you probably are taking Brantley and Justin Wright Foreman and making sure they get time in the G League. So to some extent, they may not be battling for the 15th spot the way you think. And so what I'm saying there is that you take those two guys and Brantley needs to alter his game to an NBA game. He's got a unique body. He's got a pretty unique skill set. He does some wonderful things. And you've got to find a way to change his body so that he becomes, and or not change his body, change his game to match his body in an NBA fashion. He doesn't have that yet. So when you go and take that and put it together, then you've got a player. So you're better off having Brantley go play D League in a lot of ways. Justin Wright Foreman needs to figure out his game a little bit. And so, again, I think both those guys won't be in run, for, even though they're second-round draft picks, won't be in run for the 15th roster spot, largely because what you're actually looking for out of them is that you want them to be to develop their games, and they're going to develop their game better in the G League on a two-way contract. So therefore, the 15th roster spot for the Utah Jazz in a huge amount of way, in really is coming down to a battle between Stanton Kidd and William Howard, which gets interesting. Stanton Kidd is a guy that Jazz found over in Europe, pretty good shooter, versatile, good size, Royce O'Neal-like size, defend multiple positions, not a great ball handler, passer yet. He's been in summer league both the last 2 years, had a bad European contract last year, so he couldn't get out of it. And the Jazz like him. He probably, you know, if you don't sign, if he doesn't stay, he probably doesn't go to the G League the same way as maybe some other guys do. He's kind of at that stage where he probably goes back to Europe and earns. He made a lot of money last year in Europe, and that's probably where he would go at this point. The other one is William Howard. Good story. Great work by the Jazz front office. They're going to scout another guy. They see William Howard, and they get intrigued by William Howard while looking at another player. And William Howard is interesting because William Howard has taken is an interesting piece of the puzzle. He's another long body. He can shoot it a little bit for that size. Pretty straight line drive guy, not a lot else to him. Well, question is whether he's got the physical toughness and whether he can defend or not. So those two guys, if you're watching Saturday's preseason game, Stanton Kidd and William Howard are actually the two guys that are kind of battling for the 15th roster spot on the NBA in a life-changing deal, which is pretty cool to see and watch and root for. So keep an eye on those two. I think that's kind of, I haven't heard a lot of talk about it, but that's really the 15th roster spot for the Jazz. Mea One will be on the roster. I think he'll end up playing as the year goes on. He's just so versatile, can do a lot of things. Donovan said yesterday that he's surprised how athletic he is. So that will certainly be interesting to watch and see from that aspect of things. And then I think when you keep an eye on the other, you know, you'll Tony Bradley actually continues to grow up and play better and better and better. I think he might work his way into a few minutes along the way here as well. So keep an eye on those guys for the 15th roster spot. Interesting point by Zach Lowe today in the brain dump, Lakers' lack of ball handling. I hadn't totally thought about that before. Instant replay challenge. Mike D'Antoni did it last night for the first time. I think it's going to happen a lot at about the 3 minute mark of the fourth quarter is my thought on that. That's going to happen because, that's probably the spot by which teams they have a timeout they're going to lose anyway. I think coaches are going to be, really adverse to losing timeouts is what we're going to see in this process. All right. I sat down with Donovan Mitchell before the season started. Here's our conversation coming up. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate market for you and giving you a way to save equity and have more opportunities. We've told you about selling your house. You give up the 6%. And if you do a good job with your landscaping, you choose the right, house in the neighborhood and things of that nature, and you end up somewhat getting punished by it because you end up selling for more and the real estate agent makes more, even though I'm not sure the real estate agent really did anything about that. And that's where Homie comes in with a set fee of $1,500 for you to sell yours. Well, Homie also can buy any home. That's right. You can buy a home. Customers have raved about the customer service. You get $5,000 back to help with closing costs and fees. So they'll find your dream home, tour houses, make offers, negotiate the best deals for you, and work to get you $5,000 back. It's all at homie.com. Find out more by texting LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Donovan Mitchell and I sat down right when he got back from Europe to do some production stuff. We talked about some other things as well. By the way, Blinkist gives you unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. It's really cool. Go to Blinkist.com/LockedOn. Try it for free 7 days and save 25% on your new subscription. I kind of love this. I've always thought a lot of those nonfiction books were magazine articles, but you don't make any money on magazine articles, so you read a book. And Blinkist solves that problem. It's Locked On. Try it for free 7 days and then 25% off your new subscription. Here's Donovan. Look forward to be talking to you Saturday as we bring you the Jazz and Adelaide.
When you're out there and all this is going on and there's praise coming from everywhere, what praise matters to you?
None. I think I shouldn't say none. When I say that, I mean I appreciate all of it, you know, especially coming from my mom. I think it's huge, but I know the same things, and I'm really hard on myself with this, but the same things that kind of build you up can tear you down. So I'm focused on, more focused on what my mom doesn't like that I did, or what coach didn't like that I did, or, you know, I think that's kind of the relationships I've built where, you know, you hear you did a great job, this and that, but there's always more to do. I think that's one thing I've really prided myself on, being able to not listen to too many of the highs, enjoying it, appreciating it, understanding it. I think my 2 years, I've had a lot of things that I've done well, but there are definitely a lot of things where I really look at. I'm more looking at what I can improve on. That's pretty much how I base my and critique myself, and I ask others who are around me to critique me the same way.
How do you are you used to the fishbowl yet?
One second.
Just you're in this little bowl and everyone's looking at you all the time.
That's what I thought you meant. Okay, I didn't want to. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I think, you know, being with Team USA, I think it was a little bit bigger than what I've been used to, because there's only 12 of us representing an entire country. I think that it annoyed me a little bit, you know, with the little criticism, but it made me realize, you know, that the only people's opinions that really matter are the ones that are around. And, you know, and I think it just showed me, and it was like, look, it's just another thing. Like, you grow each year, you grow and understand. I think that was one of the lessons I took away, just understanding that, you know, one, you can't please everybody, and two, that, you know, if you worry about all the externals, it's going to mess you up internally. And I think for me, not to say it got to me, I just noticed it way more. You know, you feel it with the questions people ask, with the things you get calls from when your friends, like, you notice it way more. And I think just being able to accept that, I think, is one thing that is one thing I've taken away. And I think I've gotten pretty used to it, but I think it's just something you can never really get used to. As I don't care if you're in year 3 or year 13. At the end of the day, people look at you, and wherever you go, like, people look at how you grocery shop. People look at how you drive a car. Like, if you're driving fast, like, oh, wow. Like, you know what I mean? So being able to understand that. And it's one thing to understand it, but I don't think you really get over it or get used to it.
You've had these incredible fan interactions. Do you have one that, like, jumps out to you above all these fan interactions?
I would say I gave a girl my shoes at the Cheesecake Factory, and I didn't know she had cancer. I just had extra shoes in the car, and I think it became a story, which, you know, a lot of them have, but I really just didn't know. I just said, you know, I have extra shoes, I'll give them to her. We took a picture and I gave them to her, and then her family, like, posted that she had just finished cancer, and, like, that was the happiest day that she's had since he was going through chemo and whatnot. And that one really, like, really touched me, because you couldn't tell. She was just so happy and so joyous, and I think that was really cool for me.
You've been around a few teams now, and you have all these new guys coming in. What do you think is a successful basketball culture? Like, how do you get that with a new group?
I think having guys come in and understand, you know, I look at my rookie year similar to this year when we all came in, all a bunch of new guys. I think just coming in and understanding the grind it takes, you know, not really listening to the expectations and not putting any expectations, going out there and just competing, you know, because when you start to look at, you know, where we match up as far as the West or the East or whatever, I think that's when you start to limit yourself. Being able to put yourself at a spot where it's like, you understand you need to work, you need to grind, you need to become better, need to become one. I think we have guys who are really dedicated to that.
Final things for you. When a fan thinks of Donovan Mitchell, what do you want them to think?
Hardest worker, mean on the court, nicest person off the floor.
And when a teammate thinks of Donovan Mitchell, what do you want them to think?
Selfless, most selfless person in every way.
Thanks to Donovan. Locked On NBA is coming your direction with Anthony and Adam today. So make sure you go to Locked On NBA and grab that. The NHL channel is also up and running. And BreakingT.com/LockedOn is your t-shirt spot for those Joe Ingles shirts. Have a great day. See you.